intentional, never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, she's intentional, never failing. All things are working
for my good.
'Cause she's intentional. And it's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working for my good.
For my good.
He's intentional.
Welcome to She Struts Radio. I'm your host, Deborah M. Ricks, and I am so delighted to be here this evening, and I thank you for joining me and my guests. I really appreciate you because I know there are so many things that you could be doing, but you are here with us, and I am honored. She Struts Radio is really all about giving women voice, you know, just to give us a place so that we can show up authentically and unapologetically. You know, it's about sharing our stories and our longings and our heart's desires and just being vocal, visible, and vulnerable. And so welcome. And know that you are treasured and cherished. I am going to really move right into the show. You know who I am, and you know that I'm an author, an editor, and a coach, and I'm a mother. And that's real important to me, to a beautiful young woman. And I have an amazing woman. I mean, I speak personally. You know, some people you read about. But I know this woman. And I got to tell you, in all the years that I have known her, and this is something I wrote down to say about her, and I'm saying it earlier because you got to really appreciate when you're in the presence of love. And there's nothing greater than love. And this woman I have known all these years since about 1998. And she is one of the most loving people that I know, consistently loving. And I think that's one of her secrets to being so successful in the world. She is one loving soul. Consistently. I'm not talking about, you know, on some days you see her and she's ready to curse you out or no, or even give you a side eye. This woman. And so we're talking this evening about consciously designing your life for success. And that's, we're talking about it, every facet of your life, not just financially. I don't even want to put the word just, but not just, but financially. We all want more money. Probably everybody listening wants more money. We want loving relationships. We want great health. We want to do work that we love and get paid for it. We want to love what we do, right? And so, Reverend Burnett Lee Jones is with us this evening, and she's going to share a system with you that, based on what I've seen happen in her own life, and I watched the video that she was interviewed, where she was interviewed, it sounds like it's something worth investigating. It's very, very powerful, okay? And so let me introduce you to Reverend Burnett Lee Jones. Let me just tell you, give you a little bit. I can't read her whole bio because she's very accomplished. I can't do that on the air. But I'm going to give you a snippet of who this woman is. She is the senior minister at the One God, One Thought Center for Better Living in Baltimore, right here in Baltimore. I used to attend, and sometimes I still visit. It's OGOT for short, and it is a member church of the Universal Foundation for Better Living, which is founded by Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman. And I had the delight to go to Chicago back in August, and I got to visit Reverend Johnny Coleman's church. That was such a delight. Reverend Burnett, she has mentored, coached, supported, and spiritually guided and taught spiritual leaders in churches, ministries, community-based organizations, small businesses throughout the nation. She's also a writer, and she's going to be having, she's going to release a book around conscious life designs systems. And she's a writer. She's a nationally and internationally known keynote speaker, seminar, retreat, and workshop leader. And she is really good at all of those. So about so Reverend Jones, what she did, she I'm going to read it. It says, Reverend Burnett, emerging model for personal transformation is called Conscious Life Design System, and it has helped many live a life that they love. So let me stop reading, and let's have a conversation. So welcome to She Struts Radio, Reverend Burnett.
Well, hello, Deborah. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's really wonderful to hear that you actually get that my purpose in life is simply to be a loving presence and have a good time.
Well,
that's it.
I mean, that's my only experience with you, you know? And so what can I say? And if that was just written on my tombstone, I'd be, I think, happy. I'd roll over in my grave and give thanks. Because that to me is that is everything, to be loving, and that's what I know about you, and that's my experience of you, and that's why whenever I see you, I feel so happy and delighted and feel at ease, because I don't have to worry whether you're going to be in a good mood today or not, or whether you're going to treat me a certain kind of way. And that's really, that's a wonderful thing to be able to say about someone. And so I just try to speak what I know when I experience.
Well,
whatever that commitment is, you are living it. That is beautiful.
I have designed my life around being a loving presence and making certain that I'm having a good time and enjoying myself. And we all have the privilege to actually be able to do that. People are just not aware that they have the power to design their lives, because most of us think about the circumstances that we're born into or the circumstances that come up every day, and we allow the circumstances to cause us to make adjustments and to, you know, react to them. But, you know, I'm putting forth something new. Decide who you are and where you're coming from spiritually. Design your life around that, and then let other people adjust to you. That's essentially what the system is, conscious, deliberate, intentional living.
So given that nice segue, why don't we go right ahead and why don't you tell us what that is, and then, of course, I want to know just what inspired it. But what is Conscious Life Design Systems?
It's a living system. It's a system for living your life to make certain that you are consciously, intentionally, and deliberately living the life you choose, and we look at five different areas: spiritually, personally, in our relationships, in life work, and in community. And it's a system for that has a structure, it has a certain order, it has certain processes that are simple to simply to live on a daily basis, and to make certain that you have a basis and a way to look at whether or not I'm getting the outcomes that I really want in all of those areas. And when you have determined what is really valuable and important to you, spiritually, personal, in your relationships, life, work, and community, then you can design a system for yourself to make certain that you're getting the kind of outcomes that you want. That essentially is what the system is. And then we teach you how to actually live that way. And it eventually starts to live you, you know, once you get into the system.
I know that you've done, like many of us, you've done your share of personal growth work.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
And so where were you when this happened, though? I mean, I when I talked to you at one point, you said that it was, like, downloaded. But what was going on in your life that inspired this? Where did it come from? Why?
Well, you know, in the mid-'80s, I owned a business. I had bought a business with some other business partners, one of whom was my fiancé, or at least I thought he was. and the business in the first year did $1.2 million in sales. It was
wow.
a beauty supply distributorship. We had four stores that we purchased, and then two stores we added. So we had six stores in the Baltimore metropolitan area. And around about the fourth year, in the middle of the fourth year of being in business, my business partner decided to go back to Kenya because he was the oldest son in a tribe that required that the oldest son take over the family business and take over the things in the family because his father had made his transition. So he, what seemed like to me, he suddenly got up and left and, you know, just kind of left the whole thing in my hands and some other things that I discovered. But my life at that point just began to spiral downward and fall apart. Now, I had always considered myself on the spiritual path. Would even say that I may have known at that time that I was called to ministry, but I was running from it. I was telling God I could do ministry in many, many other ways. And when he left, my life just fell apart. It just, you know, the business fell apart, my motivation, I was depressed, just in total anguish. And to God, you've got to give me something. You've got to give me a way to put my life in order and to live my life because this is just really, you know, I was just devastated with the whole thing, one thing on top of the other. And this spiritual system for living, just it downloaded. It was a spiritual download in which it came to me to build a pyramid in my consciousness. And I always loved pyramids, so I was like, build a pyramid, okay. Well, you know, that was the structure that was given to me. And at the base of the pyramid was put your spiritual life in order. Develop the practices that sustain you spiritually. That is the first and foremost and most important thing you can do is to lay that foundation. Then look at yourself personally and decide what are the things you need to be practicing on a regular daily basis that are for you. For instance, do you need to go develop yourself educationally? Do you need to make a commitment to what it is that you're being called to do? If it's not business, then what is it? And to develop yourself in that direction. Do you need to do something about your health? You know, what are all the personal things that you need to get a hold of and design? And then the next level is your relationships. You know, I was one who would have put my relationships before myself. Well, in this system, we learn to put yourself first. It's like if you're on an airplane and the oxygen mask drops, you put yours on before you can serve somebody else or help somebody else. So it's the same principle. So the third level of your pyramid is really looking at your relationships, all the relationships in your life, and deciding whether or not you're being in those relationships in the way that really honors you and the person you're in relationship with. The next level, the fourth level of your pyramid, is to look at your life work. What is it that you have really incarnated on this planet to do? What is that? And then the fifth level and the top of the pyramid is community. What are the communities that you're actually a part of, and how are you making a contribution into those communities? And so the system began to evolve as I began to work with it, and I began to share it with people. I was instructed in taking a look at my own self-talk in every one of those levels of the pyramid. And once I had looked at my self-talk and released and cleared away the self-talk that was disempowering, I was then guided to set very powerful intentions at each one of those levels. And the intentions were a guide, not goals, but the essence of what it is that really mattered to me most at each one of those levels. And then I found what I called rich jewels. And these are things that empower me and help to remind me at each one of those levels who I really am, real intentions in life are for each one of those. And then the final part of the system is time reframing, where you actually look at, okay, how much time are you actually spending in each one of these levels? Are you making truly your spirituality your priority, and then yourself next? Just really taking a look at, not judging, noticing but without judging, which is another concept that we use. Notice what you're doing without judging yourself, and just really examining and taking a look at what you're really doing, how you're really spending your time, your resources, your energy in each one of those levels. And that essentially was the system that was downloaded to me, and I've been living it ever since. My life is completely 360 degrees different than it was then.
And that was about, what, 30 years
that was
ago,
in,
you said?
It was in the late 80s, yeah. Yeah.
So what would you say then is what are people doing now? My first thought is that a lot of people don't put spirit first, and certainly many of us, we don't put ourselves next. Like you said, we put other people in front of us, or our relationship is look at how well we are doing based on our relationships versus just looking at ourselves.
Yeah, because we spend a lot of time looking outside of ourselves. We're in what I call an attention economy. An attention economy. Whatever gets your attention gets your energy, it gets your money, it gets your time, it gets your resources, the things that get your attention. And it's usually outer focused. Well, spiritual insight and wisdom is based on an inner life where we learn to focus inward first and recognize that what we're focusing on inward is going to eventually express outward. So based on that understanding and that wisdom and insight, We take our attention away from the outer things and build our life based on the inner understanding and insight and wisdom of who we are as spiritual beings. We actually, as spiritual beings, we have already been designed perfectly. Our lives are actually perfect. We just don't understand them because they seem so out of order, and they're so based on other people and outer circumstances and outer situations that we don't even recognize that they already have an order. But when we go back to who we are, the spiritual essence of who we are, we recognize that, oh, I actually have the power to be a part of and to engage in crafting, designing, creating the kind of life experience that I choose. But it does take some discipline of, you know, taking your attention out of all of those outer things.
I was just thinking, it takes consistency, it takes commitment, discipline, and as I think about I can think about myself personally, for instance, I remember a time when I did not make meditation daily. You know, it was like, okay,
yeah,
I meditated sometimes.
But
I love what you said about making putting spirit first, because when you put spirit first, all that other stuff is going to be better. It's got to be better. But if you put spirit, just throw spirit in there occasionally and maybe sometimes not at all,
right?
It's no wonder that our lives are out of order.
Yeah. If everything falls into place when we put things in their proper order, decently and in order. And so we design, conscious life design is about exploring in life. This is where it gets fun. You start exploring for the spiritual practices and the personal practices and the relationship and life work and community practices that you begin to resonate with as, oh, yeah, this helps me remember who I am, whether it's meditation spiritually, prayer, study, spiritual discipline. Personally, it may be going to the spa on a regular basis, you know, and having some good massage work done regularly for yourself, and spending time really looking at eating consciously. Or it may, you know, be fun things. If you discover that you're not giving yourself enough loving fun, just go out and do something fun, you know. So at each level, you begin to look consciously for the things that you can begin to practice on a regular basis that are fulfilling to you. You know, conscious life design is really about satisfaction and fulfillment in life. How do you feel satisfied with your relationships without having to give yourself up in order to be in relationship with other people? You know, that's the underlying intention of the whole thing. And when you are satisfied in your life and fulfilled in your life work and in who you're being, you just come forth as this powerful being. And it's effortless. It's effortless. You know, it's not something you labor with and struggle with. Initially, it requires giving it some of your undivided attention and having some discipline and some consistency. But after a while, what I began to notice is the system itself began to live me. It began to live me, and I didn't have to really give a whole lot of attention and be angst about it. And, you know, I just show up, be present, really care, and do whatever's appropriate. You know, that's my little life formula. And I measure everything. Am I being a loving presence, and am I having a good time?
Well, you always look like you're having a good time.
Yeah, because
you
people will tell you who work with me, if it's not going to be fun, I'm not going to do it. And I mean serious fun. Because some of the things I do are very serious. but I enjoy it so much because I've intentionally selected it and I've discerned and, you know, taken out the parts of it that don't work for me, you know. But the parts that bring me joy and help me to remember who I am as a spiritual being, you know, I get joy out of that.
I would
so
tell you that some, yeah, to me, I mean, some of the things that I do, they're all fun. Like, I like to write, and it feels good when I'm writing, especially when it just, like, is downloaded. Like, lately, I had just had articles come to me from LinkedIn. It's like, just download. Here it is. Boom.
Yeah.
Okay, I edit, but it's just downloaded, so that's fun when I'm in that flow like that. And
yes.
But you were right about being satisfied. That's what I love what you were saying, because what I have observed in my own life, and I've seen other people do this, is looking outside of oneself, trying to be satisfied, and because that can never, ever, ever happen, then you're never satisfied. And so what you said, I love that, because if you're putting spirit first and then you're putting your attention on yourself next, you're going to satisfy yourself and you won't have to look out there hoping someone else will, so hoping other people have to change or be something so that you can be happy. That is so beautiful and so solid.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense. I love that you put that the God gave you that.
Yeah, and you know what else I discovered, Deborah, is when you do it in that order, you become irresistibly attractable and attracting. You know, see, the next level of relationships becomes one of attraction, where people of like minds and like hearts and like interests and like energies and like commitments in the world, you begin to become a magnet attracting those people into your environment and space, because you're just being yourself, your good old attractive self, and it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes fun. You're not seeking outside of yourself for what is pleasing and wonderful. You're just being what's pleasing and wonderful, and then it attracts that which is like itself. Isn't that fabulous?
It is, and it really does work, because I know the work that I have done, and I haven't even done. We're going to talk about the Life Shop in a minute, folks. So you're getting more of this, because I have had the opportunity to go to an introduction to Conscious Life Design Systems about 3 or 4 weeks ago it was. And so we're going to talk more about it and how you can – if you are interested, you can attend one of the Life Shops. And I didn't get to do the earlier one, but there's another one coming up, and I am so grateful for that. So we're going to talk more about that. But I can tell you that as the work that I've done thus far in my own life, and the less that I look outside of myself for someone to make me happy, I'm just happy just waking up in the morning. I get up in the morning sometimes. I'm like, oh, my God, I get to get up in the morning.
It's
the morning. I love mornings, right? I'm so happy, you know? And I used to be the love addict. So everybody knows I used to look outside of myself, try to get some happiness and joy. And now that I've learned how to make myself happy, when I am in relationship with men, women, children, whatever, I'm just doubly happy. Sometimes I just can't contain it.
You know, I've been there, done that too. Been in and out of serial relationships in my life. And
you were a serial relationship person too? I didn't know that about you. Okay.
Yeah, the in and out. Well, the whole thing fell apart around a relationship, remember? And that's when I said, okay, God.
Yeah, he went back to Africa.
Yeah, he went back to marry. Look, he went back to marry somebody else. I thought I was his fiance, but he went back to his tribal tradition said his first wife had to be from his tribe. I could be his second wife, but his family would not even think about me being his first wife, you know. So I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like a deer in headlights.
that's got to be heartbreaking. And then you were building a business together and doing well, you went back to Kenya.
Thought we had going on.
Y'all had a lot going on, yeah. And
the relationship.
My sister experienced something similar to that, but they sent the wife here, I think. I think they sent the woman over here. He was from Nigeria, and they sent her over here for him to marry.
It was a shock to my sister because I was one of those people who was constantly looking outside of myself for something that was going to make me happy. And that's the one that broke the, what did they say, the straw that broke the camel's back. I said, this cannot be how you live. There's got to be another way to do this. God, show me what it is. Show me a way and a process and some order so I can put some order in my life. And this is what downloaded. I've been doing it for 30 years and sharing it with others. And in the past couple of years, Spirit has said, okay, now it's time to, I've given it away. I really have for years. Now it's time to really bring it forth in a way that it serves people and that it can serve me as well and the other people who are a part of it. So, we see actually building a whole global system that people who would like to engage in this kind of work as life work and be paid for it well can actually engage in it, because I can't think of a person on the planet who couldn't benefit from this. It's a great opportunity.
What's significant about it for me is that you talk a lot about order, and everything functions better, and if there is no order, it breaks down. So that is so significant.
And you know what else? Right now, if you look at what's going on in our world, we're in a time where people are waking up. Consciousness is evolving. And people are yearning. I think what's missing is this whole piece of how to be personally responsible for yourself and to make yourself as a personally responsible person for your own life fit into a community of people who are attempting to do the same thing. But if you don't have some order, some discipline, some personal responsibility, you can't hold up your part.
Absolutely.
And so that's a part of what's happening in the uprising here in Baltimore.
But Reverend Burnett, you know what's so significant too? And I saw this when I watched the video, and Reverend James, she said this, and I agree. I may paraphrase what she said, but this is what's really coming up for me right now in this moment, and that is, how beautiful is it that God would download this system to you before you said yes to ministry, right?
Before
you really said yes. And now here you are. You're spreading the word. You're sharing this with people. And what you're doing is this, and this is so huge for me. It's getting bigger as I speak it, and that is this. We have been told, so many denominations don't tell the individual, one, that they have personal responsibility, and they don't tell the individual that that's the right order, God and then you. And and so you're actually giving as a minister, and God knew what God was doing, because you're giving people permission to put themselves before other people. And and a lot of denominations don't do that. They give the impression that you're really not supposed to put yourself first and make yourself happy and do the things that delight you. So I think that, for me, that is so... that's massive. That's just really massive, because without me taking personal responsibility for Deborah, I cannot be happy. I cannot wake up in the morning happy, because I would have to have another person around or someone telling me that I'm okay, I'm beautiful, I'm talented, I'm something, but I can do that myself. But a lot of people, you're giving people permission. That's what I'm saying. People need, they almost need permission to do that. And it coming from a minister is beautiful.
Yeah. And
it's absolutely beautiful.
Particularly as African-American black women, we have been trained to self-sacrifice ourselves to martyrdom. And this is a message that says you can grow, be fabulous, be beautiful, and you will have more to give than if you have nothing left of yourself and you're depleted. So we are working on this is an abundance model, an empowerment model for how you have something left over to give. You know, we talk about, in my ministry, we talk about giving from our overflow, not depleting ourselves, but giving from that abundant overflow that God gives us. And so to get to the abundant overflow, you have to fill up. You have to be fulfilled. Then you have some overflow that you can actually pour out on everybody all around you and everywhere. See, that's the way that I see that. And so I'm really grateful for that, because my life is 360 degrees different than it was back then, just from following this system that God, I did not give myself permission to go into ministry and do what I knew God was calling me to do until I began to work this system in my life. And then I was no longer afraid to do it. I was no longer feeling that I was inadequate. And, you know, how is God going to use somebody with a background like mine? So,
well,
you know, I was able to.
I got to hear. Go ahead. I want. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying, because I want us to talk about how you have applied it. Okay. Give some examples of how you have applied it. You see, because I know I had talked to you about. And I actually put it on, I shared it on in the event, is that you were down to 98 pounds, right? It was 98 or 99 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to talk about that. So let me take a pause for just a moment. We're going to do a couple of things.
Okay.
One, I want people, if you have a question or a comment, preferably a question for Reverend Burnett, then you know to press 1 when we return. I'm going to play a little music. I want to come back. I want to talk to Reverend Burnett about this. To me, it was a miracle of her healing and how she used conscious life design systems to heal herself. I saw it with my own eyes, her healing. I saw her looking like she was not going to be with us long, and here she is now, beautiful, glowing, and looking younger than she, like 10, 20 years younger. So if you have a question or a comment, you know what to do. And when we return, and then when we return, Burnett, we're going to first talk a little bit about, I want them to know how they can reach out to you and tell about the Life Shop, okay? All right.
All right.
If I could buy you a gift to show you my love, tell you how I feel, it wouldn't matter what I'd have to give. I would find a way to get it for you, but fortunately, that's not the case. And we both know I don't have bank anyway, but I won't let it affect my presentation to you, 'cause this is what I bring. Here's my heart, my mind, Lord, here's my life, my everything. Take it, it's yours alone. I'll give you my all, my song that I write, every song that I sing, every day of my life, every breath that I breathe, you gave to me. And Lord, I rededicate it right back to you, the love of my life, so faithful, so true. I get goosebumps.
You're listening to She Struts Radio. My wonderful guest is Reverend Burnett Lee Jones. And we are talking about, we're talking about conscious life design systems. And Reverend Burnett,
yes.
Tell people how they can reach out to you. And we're going to just share, I want to share a little bit about your, to me, your miracle healing. You may call it something else, but that's what I see it as. And then she's going to share with you a bit about the Life Shop, and I'll share a bit as well because I had a little bit of an introduction, but I do intend to do the entire day. So how can people reach out to you? How can they connect with you?
Well, in several ways. I am always here at the One God, One Thought Center for Better Living. So during the week or during on Sundays, if you want to come over and hear more about this theology that's the background and the underpinning of Conscious Life Design System, you can always find me here. Our website is ogot.org. Or you can reach out to me personally, and I'll actually give you my email address, which is B Jones, B as in Bright, Jones, 27, at AOL.com. If you're interested in the Life Shop, the next Life Shop experience, which is a six-hour event that you come to and you begin to explore and examine your life based on the principles that I just talked about and the system, using the system, how to apply it, you are welcome to do that, and, you know, I would invite that. The phone number here at the church is 410-496-5188, 410-496-5188, and the secretary will put you in touch with me. And what was the next question?
Well, why don't we do this? I want you to talk more about self-talk, and then I want you to tell about your miracle. I'm going to set that up, though, in a minute because I got to share with folks just what I observed. And
okay.
To me, it's one thing for people to hear you talk about it, but I actually saw you, and now
yes.
And then when I saw you later, you were healed. So,
yes.
But you mentioned earlier about self-talk, and what role does that play in conscious life design?
You know, our self-talk in every one of those levels, we are either constantly talking ourselves into things or talking ourselves out of things that are really for our highest good. You know, Spirit is talking to us at all times. But then we have a conversation with ourselves that says, oh, yeah, that can't be right. When I heard this system downloaded, I guess I was so desperate I didn't do that. But, you know, I could have easily said, oh, that's nothing. So, you know, it's about listening, learning to really hear the things we are saying to ourselves about ourselves, spiritually, personally, in our relationships, in our life work, and in our community. For instance, a lot of people, back to the relationship piece, because I know black women, we have a lot of issues with relationships. I have five sisters, and we talk about it all the time when we come together. And by the way, one of the most enjoyable and fulfilling things is when I was able to begin to bring this system to my sisters and actually be in relationship differently because of this. Well, self-talk. Mm. Self-talk is that conversation that says, oh, I know what he's going to say. And I'm going to say this before he says it, because whatever we put on the end of that, or the self-talk about ourselves that says, well, nobody wants to be in relationship with somebody who's sloppy and lazy. Nobody wants to be in relationship with somebody who's did it. You know, we've got all of these little conditions. Because we put conditions on others, we put conditions on ourselves. Because we judge other people, we first judge ourselves. And so we are spending a lot of time actually listening to the judgment we have about ourselves without realizing that that's going on, because it's so subtle. We're looking outside of ourselves and thinking that it's all about, you know, the person we're judging outside of ourselves, but what we're really doing is judging ourselves. So in Conscious Life Design Systems, in the Life Shop, we learn how to distinguish our own self-talk so we can hear the line of conversation that we're having with ourselves about any one of those things. You know, just the conversation that I said earlier about, God can't use me, all this stuff I've done, I know God can't use me, so this can't be a call to, you know, to ministry. But I knew that it was. Somewhere in me I knew it was, but I was talking myself out of it and running. And so on each one of those levels, there are things we're saying to ourselves about ourselves. It's a challenge to hear it sometimes. So the group setup in the Life Shop is very helpful because you get some powerful coaching from three facilitators, myself and two other people who've been using this system for the last 30 years in our own lives, and we've had miraculous, I mean miraculous results. So that's what the self-talk piece is all about. And we learn how to investigate and to listen to our self-talk about ourselves compassionately so that we are not, you know, we're discovering some very challenging and difficult things we're saying about ourselves, but being able to hear it and not judge, to just notice what we're saying to ourselves without judging ourselves for it. And when we really
I can imagine as a person uses this system, though, over time, the self-talk would begin to change, because if you really put it to work and you're meditating, you're praying, you've got your practices in order and you're spending time with spirit, because you talked about tithing in the morning, what you do first thing in the morning. Talk a little bit about that. So if you're doing those things, then your self-talk would start to change, I would think.
Yes. Well, we talk about tithing our time, tithing our very first thoughts to God. And it's a little exercise that we do with ourselves to just kind of notice where we are, not judging ourselves, but notice what does the mind go to first as soon as you are aware and conscious that you're awake. Does it go to, oh, I got to get stuff ready for, you know, to get the kids or the spouse out of here? Does it go to, okay, everything on my to-do list for today? Does it go, you know, what does it go to? And when you begin to notice, you can then begin to choose in a very powerful way, okay, I'm going to tithe my very first thoughts to God. So I'm going to have, I'm going to catch myself in the morning and, you know, as soon as I realize I'm awake and put my attention on God. And then the very next thing I'm going to do is do something that honors me, that shows my love for myself, before I start serving all the other people in the world.
Those two practices alone will transform you, because I know I had watched your video. I watched it last year sometime, and as I saw it in the newsletter, OGOT's newsletter. So I watched the video, and I remember saying, okay, I'm going to do that. And even now, I don't do it. I do it and I don't do it. Let me put it this way. I used to wake up, and it's so tempting because these devices are very addictive for some people. Now, I don't know about everybody, but a lot of people are just addicted to their devices. And I'm one of those people that, so I have to resist the urge, and I don't always win. The bigger part of me doesn't always win. I have to resist the urge to just tap it and look at some stuff, you know, my phone or my iPad. I usually don't go to my computer that early, but I pick up the phone, and if I see something, I have to resist that. So what I'm learning to do.
Well, at least you notice it. At least now you notice that you're doing that. You see?
Yeah, I do.
And that's the moment when you can make the
meditate.
Choice. Yeah, that's the point where you can make the choice.
Yeah. But you actually helped me with that when I saw the video last year. And I said, you know what? This is not cool to be going to your device first thing in the morning. So why don't you spend some time? Because I would get to the meditation. I would get to the mirror work. I would get to that, but I would go to this device first. So I started now looking at, okay, how can I do, you know, now, you know, this morning I actually laid in bed and I did go to spirit first. I went to God now. But the other piece that I love and now start incorporating is now I'm next after that. And so give an example of what that would look like.
Well, in terms of how I actually use that in my life?
Yeah, like, okay, you spend some time meditating, praying, and then so what would you do, or what have you heard other people do in the morning for themselves? Like,
okay, so it can be as simple as I absolutely love fresh cut flowers. Put me in a trance. I just love them. So once I have given God my undivided attention, I'm listening to hear, is there something that you, some message that you have for me today? Is there, have I expressed my gratitude and my love and my appreciation for everything that has happened? I do that before I go to bed, actually, but everything that's happened today, but everything that I'm expecting today. Have I already given you thanks? Because I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be a fabulous design. Have I given you thanks that it's already done? Then I look, I can just go to my fresh cut flowers and smell them. I used to have something so as simple as a little piece of alpaca to my bed, and I would pick it up in the morning right after I had said my morning prayer or meditation or whatever, and just pick it up and feel what it felt like to have something soft touching me. It can be something as simple as that. It can be music, you know, music that you can dance to. It doesn't have to be something that takes a long time. Now, in the book that I'm writing, I talk about days when you take the entire day for any one of those five levels. So you might take an entire day and do something for you. You might take an entire day and spend it, you know, with family. You might take an entire day. I spend a lot of entire days with just God, just giving God my undivided attention because I love solitude and I love silence. So I can spend 24 hours in silence just honoring God and listening and meditating. No radios, no TV, no technology, none of that, you see. So over time you discover those little pieces that enrich you, that satisfy you, they fulfill you, they bring a moment of joy. If you have a moment of joy to lift your spirits before you go out and deal with the world, you have really given yourself a treasure and a gift, because there's a lot going on in the world. And a lot of it, you really don't want to be dealing with if you're already feeling depleted. So the idea is to get some momentum, go to God, get some momentum under yourself about the spiritual being that you are, the empowered being that you are, the joy that you are, whatever it takes to do that before you start dealing with other people and what's going on with them.
And imagine doing that. So I'm throw it out to a listening audience. Imagine finding something, well, let's say even 30 days, something different in the morning. After you spend time with God for 30 days, you find something different each morning that brings you joy. You know what that would be? That would also help us get to really know ourselves in a way that we don't know ourselves. And therefore, we won't be as dependent on other people to bring us joy and to say, well, you don't know me. You know, I've been around people where they're like, they expect me to know them better than they know them.
Yes.
And
that's the whole point of this.
That hurts, you know?
That's the whole point of this, is to discover how incredibly magnificent we are made in the image likeness of God, to discover that about ourselves. That's what the whole point of this conscious life design is, fulfillment, the satisfaction of really discovering self.
Well,
let's
talk about this miracle self. So I've been knowing Reverend Burnett, and jump in and correct some of what I may say, because speaking, of course, from observation. But I've been knowing, for those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to She Starts Radio, and I'm talking to the wonderful Reverend Burnett Lee Jones, and she was downloaded this amazing, I was at the moment call it a tool. And so I've been knowing her a while, and so she's always been a healthy, vibrant, vivacious woman. But there was a time, and I don't know what year it was, so this is where you come in, but I noticed that she was losing weight, and she was getting smaller. But I think at one point she wanted to lose weight, and she was losing weight. And I was like, you know, when we want on this thing to lose weight, people may notice, oh, she's losing weight. So I had noticed she's losing weight. And then I wasn't going to OGOT at the time, but whenever I would see Reverend Burnett, well, I don't remember the first time I saw you, but then I saw you when you had gotten really, really small. What, 98 pounds?
Yes.
Something like
that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She went down, and I was so worried. And then, of course, you know, people talk, and I remember talking to some folks, and I'm like, oh, my God, Burnett, she's not well. Did you see her, Burnett? You know how we are, you know? When you talk, and you're like, oh, my God. And I was like, oh, and I was just like, I just knew that you weren't going to be here much longer, because I had never seen anybody so small, so thin. And what I do have to say, which I've never said this to you, but I thought it was incredible. This is part of what makes you amazing to me. You were just, you didn't have that energy of apologizing. Like, you know, you can actually have the energy of apologizing to people because, you know, or feeling sorry for yourself or feeling shame. I didn't feel any of that. Yeah. Okay. So So you know, I know. So tell us. So now you take it from there. I saw her and repeatedly, and I was worried. And so you take it from there, and I'd like for you to share what you like to share about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the spiritual tradition I come from, which is in the New Thought Christian movement, and having the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, who was given a sentence when she was given a diagnosis that said that she had 6 months to live. So our tradition is a tradition of healing, that you don't have to die, because she lived an additional, she was 90-some years old when she made her transition. She lived an additional 50 years beyond the diagnosis that she had a terminal illness. And so that is a basis, is one of the basis for me being able to get through the experience that I went through. People sometimes need to see somebody go through a healing experience. I discovered that later upon reflecting on it, because while I was going through it, you know, initially I didn't want to look in the mirror either. I mean, because, you know, it really did look strange to be 98 pounds. However, there was never a moment when I did not know for certain that God is my health and I can only be well. I am not this body, and so I don't have to go through any kind of changes about what this body is doing. Whatever it is that people outside of me are seeing. See, again, I wasn't trying to please people outside of me. whatever the people outside of me are seeing and dealing with, that does not have to be my consciousness about what's going on. I am in a healing journey, whatever it is. Now, you had asked me for a photograph so you could show people, you know, before and after, and the date when it happened and all of that. I don't try to remember any of that. I am not trying to hold in my consciousness what I looked like at 98 pounds. I'm not trying to hold in my consciousness when that happened. It was several years ago. I can't tell you whether it was 3 or 4 or 2. I can't even tell you. Because when I made up my mind that I can be alive as long as I choose, that God has given me that dominion, power, and authority over this life, that I can be healthy and well, I set an intention to be healthy and well. I set an intention to get my hips back because I like my hips. You know, it became a joke after a while, you know. When my pants were falling off, it became a big joke, you know, but I liked my hips. And so I said, you know, I'm setting an intention to have my hips back. And so I went through that journey. Now, people went through all kinds of conniptions and changes, and I guess some of them started making plans, you know, and all kinds of things. But,
what, who was going,
you know,
to
but
be
for me,
the next minister?
Yeah, all of that. All of that. So,
oh,
you know, for
God.
Me, I recognized that whatever it was that was going on, all things, and this is a song that you play at the beginning of your show, all things work together for my good, and I am not accepting anything else. This is working together for my good, and it's working together for the good of all of the people I encounter in this body. And so I stood on that. I stood on that faith, on that awareness that I get to choose. And I honestly know that. We get to choose how long we intend to be in this body. We get to choose whether we heal from experiences or whether we decide that, okay, I'm okay with letting it go. So,
Reverend Barnett, you're telling me that there was never a point where you were worried?
Not worried in the sense that I think that you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I was.
Were you scared?
If it was a worry, it was you taking too long, God. I'm impatient.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you told me when I saw you last, you said that you made a decision, though. There was a pivotal moment when you
there
made
was a
decision. Of it.
Mm-hmm. I made the decision to stay in a body. Because there was a moment when I said, you know what, this could go either way. I could just drop this right now and move on. Or I could have the intention to stay in a body and get through this to whatever the other side is. And so I made a conscious choice and decision to be here. See, I know that God can do anything, all things, the scriptures say. And I know that. All things. Anything that anybody in a body has ever done, anybody else can also do. I know that. So the choice that I recognized was I needed to listen to my own self-talk about what I was saying about being in a body and being alive.
What did you change?
I changed the conversation to, this is not up to anybody but me. God has given me the dominion, power, and authority to be here if I choose to be here, and I choose to be here. I choose to be here, and I choose to be healthy. Those are my intentions. You know, the thing about a consciously designed life is fluid. It's not like all of the circumstances and different kinds of experiences that there are in life just disappear. That's not what you're doing in conscious life design. What you're doing is developing a way of being with whatever shows up, a way of being with it that allows you to really go back and reevaluate your intentions. So I had to reevaluate my intentions for being in life. Have I done all my work that I came here to do? Will there be an impact? If everybody go, will there be an impact on some other people who I made some commitments to that I'm not going to fulfill? You know, I had to really go look at the whole thing, what I was saying about all of it. You know, God, you're taking too long. I'm going to fire you. You know, all of it.
So maybe think about Reverend Ike. He said, if they said something about God, he said, that kind of God, you need to shut that kind of God. He was like, I'm firing you. So,
yeah.
But you did. So, Reverend Johnny Coleman, she did figure in. I mean, because she did live a long time.
Oh, yeah.
After that diagnosis.
She's been great inspiration.
Yes, absolutely.
And Reverend Sheila
so
McKeithen,
many.
our UFBL president now, Reverend Sheila McKeithen, they gave her a 6-day diagnosis.
6 days? Really?
Yeah, years ago.
There
are so many people who have had healing experiences. And that we can look at right now, and that look like us, black women. We don't have, you know, Jesus in Scripture, they told about the miraculous healing things he did, but we can look right now in this day and age and find people who discovered the same thing he did, which is that life is eternal. Life is a spiritual thing, not a fleshly, physical, human thing. And when you can align yourself with the true spirit and energy of truth that is life, then you can be alive.
I do think that the most significant and powerful thing that we can do is to make a decision, because the word decide means to cut off. And
yes.
So to cut off the possibility that anything else is going to happen. So you made decision that you were going to stay in this body. You got more things to do. And
yes.
That's what you did. And like you said, people do it. I didn't know that Reverend Sheila McKeithen had a similar experience. I didn't know that about her.
Yeah.
But I will say
yeah.
this in honor of my friend Jeanette Taylor. I call her name because I'm going to the funeral tomorrow, and she had just turned 60. Yes, February 14th, her birthday, Valentine's Day, and she just turned 60 years old, and we've been friends and close and talked a lot, and so I remember that I used to really want her to make a decision to what, you know, I really used to, you know, me, I'm like, I can be a bit pushy. And I would be talking to her, and I was like, you know, in my many different ways, we'd be having a conversation, and I would just really want her to make a decision. You're not ready.
Yeah.
You're going to be here, right?
Yeah.
And I never felt she made that decision.
Yeah.
And so when you made the decision, did you do anything different?
You know, I recognized that I did not have to know how. I didn't have to know how. I only needed to know that that was my intention and that I was open to what Spirit would bring that would fulfill that intention. And so, you know, I went to doctors and got certain diagnoses and this, that, and the other. Now, people thought it was a lot of things because there are people here. I disclose, you know, I'm a very transparent person, and I disclosed my background and my background experiences. So people knew that I had had some experiences that would have likely put me in a category of being, quote, unquote, at risk for a number of things. But I never embraced any of that. I never accepted that any of that defined me. And I recognized that I did not have to know how Spirit was going to do this. I only needed to accept that it was being done. And that was it. I took my hands out of it.
So were you guided to do anything different, though? I'm just curious. It was like, you know.
Yeah, change. I changed my eating habits. I was guided. Yes, I was guided to do some different things. Change my eating habits.
Okay.
And mostly, to tell you the honest to God truth, mostly it was about giving myself more attention. I recognized that some of the quote-unquote weight loss was years of waiting for me to get mine, so to speak, for me to get the attention that I deserve, for me to have what I thought I was mine by divine right. For me, it was letting go of the waiting. And when all of that was over, you know, what ended up coming was give yourself more of your own attention. Now, I've been working conscious life design for all these years, and that was still an area. Like I said, it's a flow. That was still an area that was a challenge for me. I could give God my undivided attention. I could give everybody else who needed something in this church my attention. I could do the work that I thought I was called to do and travel all over the country. I served on the International New Thought Alliance and the Universal Foundation for Better Living, you know, did all of that stuff. You know, served community. And I still was never really giving myself my own attention to the degree that I really required. And that there, you know, I had to reckon with some of my own self-talk about sadness and about worthiness. You know, we don't give ourselves our own attention because we don't think we're worthy of it. I had to reckon with some of all of those things. So it happens in layers. You know, you can start designing your life. Truly, it happens in stages and layers. You know, it doesn't all happen on the same day that you do it, and, you know, then you jump up and say, oh, well, I got that done. It's a lifelong journey. You know how we want to be quick. Come on, God. Like I said, that was my issue about the whole thing. Okay, God, you're not moving fast enough. I know you're going to do this.
Yeah.
But you're not moving
fast
enough for me.
Well, you know, something good comes out of something challenging. And there you were. There you were. Yeah. Like you said, the man you thought was your fiancé, he went back to Africa. I like saying that for some reason.
to marry somebody else.
Right, to marry somebody else. But then you said, God, come on, I know. And look what came out of that. Something
that's
that
right.
Not only blessed and healed you and
that's
is
right.
healing your life and just making your life so wonderful, but now you got me excited and some more people. And I'm going to tell you, you said something that made me really want to get involved, and that is black women. And you started to talk about how we as black women, a lot of times we just put ourselves last. We're like, we just want to save everybody else. And we're exhausted at the end of the night, fall into bed, don't go to the gym, don't work out, don't eat right. You know, and like Yana Van Zandt said, who said you got to get the smallest piece of the chicken? Who said
that? That's right. That's right.
It's like, who said that? So I definitely want you to, this is a good chance, a good time, I should say. Now, if you have a question, do not wait till the last minute, but Reverend Burnett Lee Jones, we have been talking with her, and I'm so excited, as you can hear, I get excited easily, my daughter tells me, anyway. And I want you to tell
that's
them
a good
about
sign.
The Life Shop. It's a good sign.
It's a good sign to be excited about life. It's a good sign that you're alive.
Yeah, because I do get excited. When I get excited, I get excited. And I'm excited about Conscious Life Design Systems. And tell us about the Life Shop that's coming up and how people can come, get involved. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Life Shop is, as I said earlier, a day-long event. And you register. If you will send me, anybody who's interested, your email address at my email, bjones927@aol.com. I will put you on the Eventbrite invitation list. It's coming up on April the 23rd. We start at 12 noon. We end at 6. And the registration fee is $99. Best investment you will make in your life. And we spend the day with you, just going through a series of exercises, let you explore some of the things we've talked about. There are coaching, follow-up coaching calls, and the request for one-on-one coaching afterwards is available. But we just have a incredible day. You will not look at your life the same when you leave, I'll tell you that.
Well, let me add my 2 cents worth. I haven't said that in a long time. But I did do an introduction, and it was really exciting. It was awesome. And just to be in the presence of the three women that are facilitating this was powerful.
Yes, yes.
I know Reverend Burnett, and I know Nefertiti, but I know the other woman, but they all – so just to be in their presence, and one of the things that I have gotten real clear about, that sometimes you go, it's not just the information, because this is bigger than information, but it's not just the inspiration, but it's the relationships that you develop, that you get connected with people that you want to be connected with, who can pull you further along. And I love that.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well, the three of us have,
I have someone who want to ask a question or make a comment. So
I'm
going to try to get them in. So did you, and if you can hold that just a moment. So 773-447. Welcome to She Stress Radio.
Hi, Janae is my name, from Chicago. Hi, Deborah.
Hey, Janae.
Hi.
Hello.
Just wanted to say hi, Reverend Barnett. You are really rocking this. I'm sitting here going, go, girl, go. I'm just sitting here, and I just want to compliment you. You are going down my street so many times, and I just wanted to just offer you congratulations for having the courage to say yes, because we choose to leave or we choose to stay, and I think both of them are decisions. And I wanted to say thank you for taking the courage to say yes and to stay, because you are a gift to the planet. I hear you. This is my first time hearing you, but you are so awesome, and I just wanted to recognize you today as a goddess to the planet.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you taking the time to call in. And, you know, it is my total life commitment to serve and to serve people and to support people to have the life that I know God intended for us to have and has given us all the tools and skills. We just have to learn how to discern what it is that Spirit is telling us. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So let me tell you a little bit about Janine. She goes, or do you still go to Dr. Johnny Coleman's church, Janine?
Yes. I still attend.
Oh, yeah. She grew up in that church.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I know Derek very well. Reverend Derek?
Yes, Derek Wells.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know him very well. Mm-hmm. We were both in ministerial school together, so we're good buddies. Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, I grew up when Dr. Coleman was on 87th Street before she moved to 119. Yes, I've been what we call Johnny Coleman's baby forever.
Yeah.
I came out for twice, Youth Expressing Christ. Yeah, yes.
Excellent, okay. Well, it's nice meeting you.
So maybe you could take it to Chicago. Janine would be a great person to connect with to take this to Chicago. Right, Janine?
Yes, yes, yes. And that would be really wonderful because I believe in love. I believe that love is the foundation of all that is when we're loving and honoring ourselves. So when you said that, I take the boy. I was like, now she on my street now.
Well, you know, I've had some conversations already with a couple of ministers there. So, yeah, when we get ready to roll it out there, you'll be one of the people I'll make sure we connect with. And you can, you know, if you're interested, you can help us get it moving. You know, we want to get it to people. Yeah, we want to get this to people. Wonderful.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Reverend Barnett.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah. See, to me, that's one of the things I love doing anyway. I used to call myself a connector. And, because I love doing that. Because Janine is, when I was in Chicago, the person I went up there, she does something, a lot of stuff, but Sunrise Service in Chicago. And so you do want to connect with Janine A. Ingram when you go to Chicago with this, okay? So we have another caller. And she does something called the Love Journey every morning that I'm on as well. It's a call.
Okay.
So she really is about love. So we got two people. I mean, you know, it's like that is, like you said, the world is really, we are waking up. And we are really beginning to see that there is nothing more powerful than love. And self-love, as I like to say, is at the root of all good. And so we have another caller. And let's see. 917-446. Welcome to She Stress Radio.
Peace and blessings. That's 445, Deborah. This is Jackie. Thank you so much.
Hi, Jackie.
Great. This is a great conversation. Thank you so very much. I would like to know if you could expound a little bit more on when you said that you chose to stay in the body. Could you expound a little bit more on that with all that you were going through when you had lost all that weight and everything? What do you thank you so much.
Okay. Well, in the Conscious Life Design System, one of the things that I have learned is that when we set an intention, the universe then brings forth whatever.
Hello, Jackie. Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. The universe is going to start bringing to us.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Yeah, she's answering my question.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So when we set a very powerful intention like that, the universe then starts attracting to us. We start attracting to ourselves a whole series of people, events, resources, whatever is required. The biggest challenge most of us have is not being afraid. You know, people would look at me. I would have gotten afraid just by the way people were looking at me and reacting to me if I had not already been, you know, prayed up and have a real strong spiritual foundation and, you know, recognize that I love myself enough to do whatever is required once I have made the intention that I'm going to be in this body. And I'm going to trust the Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct me in how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not that there were not moments when it didn't look, you know, real strange to me. It did. I wouldn't call it fear because I was just so certain that I was going to be here. I just didn't know how. I didn't know how it was going to work out, who God was going to send, how, you know, what was going to be attracted to me. I did not know. I could not tell you that I knew for certain. That's a part of our challenge, is that we think we have to know everything. And when you're dealing in the spiritual realm, it's not about knowing in the sense that you have, that God gives you a A, B, C, D, that this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, God just presents opportunities, people, information, you know, different things that are required. And it's our job to then not be afraid to take a step, even if it's in a direction that you probably would not have normally taken a step. Talking to some people, mm-hmm. perhaps, who can give you from a spiritual perspective an understanding about what they see. Maybe a medical intuitive. Maybe, you know, they're all trying some different kinds of treatments, you know, that you may not have been aware of before. So you don't really know what God's going to bring forth for you, but you really do have to give up. One of the things that I really had to give up was the attachment to my personality. I had to actually say to myself, there is no such personality as Burnett Lee Jones, because she had all these judgments. Burnett has all these things that, oh, you're not supposed to do that, and you're supposed to do this. All these things about, oh, how you, you know, the clothes that I love. I love dressing up and looking good and having nice things, you know, and none of them were fitting, you know. And I was looking like, you know. So the embarrassment that other people would, I had to give up my personality so that I could be with people and not feel embarrassed. I had to give up all my personality and all of the self-talk about, you know, nobody's going to want to come and hear you or see you if you looking like that. I had people in my church telling me I should go somewhere and sit down for a while until I looked better. And I said, no, you know why? Because there are some people here who need to see a person with flesh on it go through a healing journey so that they can see that people can do that. And so I recognized that the experience was not just for me. It was for everybody who I encountered.
I hate to interrupt you. We're coming up on 8 o'clock, the top of the hour, and I want you to be able to give your information out again so that people can reach out to you. Okay. Thank you, Jackie, so much. I didn't hear the question, but I'll maybe hear it later because my call dropped.
I hope that answered your question,
yes,
Jackie.
You did. You did. You did. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Namaste.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You know, and people also needed to see your journey, but they also needed to see people not be attached to the personality, that you can still move forward. So that you can still show up and not be, quote unquote, look so gorgeous or whatever. You know what I mean? There's a lot to your journey. You're showing up.
Ego.
Showing up.
Got to get off of that ego stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I can relate to all of that. So, Reverend Burnett Lee Jones, we've been talking with her, and it's been delightful. And your email address, if people want to reach out to you, is
bjones927. At AOL.com. Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, I got an introduction to Life Shop, and it is amazing. And just the piece about learning how to listen to your self-talk is worth the $99.
Yeah, it truly is.
It really, really is. And three amazing facilitators. So reach out to Reverend Burnett Jones. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to acknowledge them, Lynette Nefertiti Myrick and Adrian Noel, who've been living this system. That's the only requirement to become a facilitator in this system, is you have to live it yourself. So I'd like to acknowledge them. But thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I look forward to participating in one of the Life Shops. And that's coming up April 23rd, folks. Be here. You might want to do that. Thank you, Reverend Burnett Jones.
I am
Thank you.
I am life. I am divinity.
God bless.
God bless you. Technology is doing what it do.
Okay.
What it do.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Soon as? Yes.
All right. Peace.
Peace. Goodbye, folks.